If you look at a list of the top 10 movies ever made, greatest movies ever made, there are a couple of movies always make that list. And one of them is the movie Citizen Kane. Whether you love it or don't, it is a cinema classic. It's an incredible movie. And it starts with a really interesting scene, not to give it away, but it begins with an old man with a snow globe in his hand, and he drops a snow globe to the floor, and as it rolls away, you see his lips form a whispering word, Rosebud. And you think, what does that have to do with anything? Because immediately the movie then transitions and it goes back to a beginning, and you lose thought of what Rosebud is, and it's very critical to the plot. And only at the end of the movie, only at the end, first-time watchers suddenly realize, oh my, that's what that is all about. Now, I don't want any of you taking up your phones and trying to watch Citizen Kane through the rest of this eulogy, because this is a really important introduction to what I want to cover with you today. That movie is great because it offers what we call foreshadowing. What happens in that opening scene is meant to become part of the entire rest of that movie. And at the very end, all of a sudden you have this aha moment. Oh, that's what that meant way back there. And it shows the great scripting of a movie that somebody thought about all that and put it all together in a remarkable way so that we know this is nothing about this is haphazard. It's all by design. It's all meant to tie together. Jesus talked about that when he was with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. This idea that all the scriptures had spoken of him, all that the prophets said were all about him. And so we regularly in this congregation at this point in the eulogy message, the good news message, we often go back to those Old Testament pictures and stories to say, oh, that's what God was doing back there. He planted the rosebud scene way back there. So that when we come to Jesus, we have an aha moment. Oh, wow, that's what that's about. So Jesus is compared in writing to several of the Old Testament characters. There's a comparison or comparisons of Jesus to Abraham and to King David and to Noah and to Moses and to Jonah. All of those are pointed back to say, this was really about me. And they really prefigure me, is what Jesus is saying. The one character, though, that I think probably mirrors the life of Jesus more than any other character, more than anybody else in the Old Testament, is Joseph. And yet he is never once stated as a figure or parallel or foreshadowing of Jesus. But Jesus is all over the Joseph story. And we've talked about that. I was going back. I think I probably myself have delivered at least 8 or 9 different messages on Joseph. Welcome to number 10. Because I was going back through that story again and something popped up for me. It popped up out of the story and I want to share it with you today. There are a lot of parallels between Jesus and Joseph. They are both the favorite son of their father, but they're hated by their kinsmen. They both are betrayed, and they're both sold for the price of a slave. They both are about 30 when they come to power to save their kinsmen, about that same time. But what I want to go to today, and I'm going to go to this passage, and some of you are going to say, you've been here, Ralph. I know you've been here, but not like we are going today. Go back to Genesis chapter 40, if you would, please. Take your Bibles. Turn to Genesis 40, and I want you to listen to this reading. Then it came about after these things. the cupbearer, some of your Bible versions say butler, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them. And they were in confinement for some time. And then the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream the same night. Each man with his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. So I'm going to jump forward for the sake of time. Joseph finds out that they're concerned, and he asks what's going on. They said, we've had dreams. And he said, well, tell me what the dreams are. The interpretations belong to God. Maybe I can help. And the chief cupbearer says, in my dream, there was a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches, and as it was budding, its blossoms came out, its clusters produced ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I put the cup, I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph says, well, here's the interpretation. Three branches are 3 days, and within three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. And you'll put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you. Do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. And he goes on to tell he was kidnapped and placed there. Now, verse 16 says, when the chief baker saw he had interpreted favorably, he said to Joseph, okay, I'll tell you my dream. There were three baskets of white bread on my head, the top basket, all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket. And Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days, and within three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh off of you. And what happens? That happens to both of them. The cupbearer is restored to his place, and the baker is hanged. Now, I want you to think about a couple of thoughts for this. Verse 13, the butler or the chief cupbearer is told, in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head. Lift up your head. That's an interesting phrase. It's used often in the Bible, and it's used in a couple of different ways. But the primary way that's used is the idea that you're downcast. Picture it. You're downcast. You don't have any hope. And somebody lifts your head up. They lift it up. Hey, come on. It's going to be better. You're going to be all right. You can see the person taking the finger under the chin, lifting up the head. And you'll see that throughout the Psalms, that phrase, my head will be lifted up. The idea is I will be restored back to my normal place, because most of us don't walk around like this. Most of us walk around like this. So when our head is lifted up, we're back to a restored position. That makes sense? Yes? So this is the idea that's being given. Your head will be lifted up. He's going to put you back where you belong. He's going to restore you. He's going to elevate you. He's going to release you from here. He's going to restore you to your position. That's what he says. Now, I want you for just a moment, be the baker. You just heard that message. You heard it three, you heard the word three, and you heard the word three associated with 3 days and everything's going to change. That was with the butler. The three vines are the 3 days and you will be restored. How? Will lift up your head. So you're the baker and you know what your dream was. Your dream was, I saw these three baskets and that's probably 3 days too. And he got a good finding on his. It sounds like maybe that'll happen to me also. So he says, here's my dream. And I don't know if Joseph is just blunt or unaware, or he just has to be as honest as he is and can't pull punches. But he starts out wording it the exact same way. If you're the baker, your heart is beating faster because it sounds like what happened to the butler. Yes, he says the baskets are 3 days. Yeah, 3 days. That's what's going to happen. At the end of 3 days, Pharaoh will what? He will lift up your head. So when you hear those words, what are you thinking? I'm going free. And then he adds the phrase, lift up your head from you. Lift up your head from you. Well, that's not good. And then to make sure he understands, he says to him, and he will hang you on a tree. Hang you on a tree. I think the wording here can only be from God. Joseph's very wording of his interpretation of these dreams seemed to me to be from God. Nothing is haphazard or casual about his words to the baker and to the butler. He will lift up your head from you and do what? Hang you on a tree. Now, if you're thinking with me and you're trying to get the clues, hanging from a tree has New Testament connotations, doesn't it? In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, the statement is made, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Hangs on a tree. Everyone who hangs on a tree. And some of your Bibles may even have a cross reference that takes you right back to that passage in Genesis chapter 40. Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, i.e., you will be cursed. Yeah, that's a pretty strong curse. You're going to die. And Jesus hangs on a tree for us, becoming our curse to take that away from us. But there's another phrase here that intrigues me because it's found again and again in the New Testament. In John chapter 3, verse 14, John 3, verse 14, Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And in John chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus says, "When you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am He." When you lift up the Son of Man. And then in chapter 12, verses 32 and 33, Jesus says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. So go back. Go back. Here's the butler. And Joseph says to him, "In 3 days, your head will be lifted up. You're going to be elevated. You're going to be restored. You're going to be freed from the situation you're in and put back in your proper place." And then he says to the baker, "Your head will be lifted up from you. You'll be hung on a tree. You'll become a curse." And then 3 times in the book of John, Jesus uses the phraseology that Joseph used of the baker and the butler, lifted up. So when you first hear this, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to myself," at first you may think that's almost a proximity thing. I'm up here higher than you are on this platform. And we tend to think, lifted up, I'm lifted up so that you can see me and come to me. Know where I am. I'm in a prominent position. I'm high up. I'm just talking physically here. But we tend to think that what Jesus is meaning by that statement, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself," that he's talking about, get the phraseology, he's talking about butler lifting up. Lifted up like the butler. "If I be raised up high, I'll draw men to myself. They'll see me. They'll come to me because I have been elevated." But the very next verse, verse 32, says he was saying this to indicate the way he was to die. That's baker lifting up. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's lifted up like the baker was lifted, not like the butler. Now, I'm here to tell you something today. We are here today to celebrate both. We're here to celebrate the death of Jesus, that he would be lifted up on a cross and die in our place. We're here to celebrate that because without that, we are cursed. When we partake of this, and isn't it interesting, again, baker, butler, and here's the one that some of you probably thought, "Oh, that's where Ralph's going because he's been there before." Isn't it interesting that what we're to partake of today is a product of the baker and the butler? Bread and fruit of the vine. In fact, freshly squeezed grapes. Bread, fruit of the vine. Baker, butler. Lifted up like the baker was to die, so that he could be lifted up like the butler was, to be elevated, put back in his place, placed at the right hand of God, restored to what he was before he ever came to this earth, honored and glorified. That's what we're here to partake of today. I don't think any of the wording, and I don't think that story, is just a coincidence. And if you're saying, "Well, isn't that interesting? What a coincidence." You're missing the whole point. I don't think it's coincidence at all. I think it is the great script writer God planting his own rosebud back there in Genesis So that when we read that story with understanding, we recognize Jesus is in that story. He is the baker who would be crucified for us, die for us, be lifted up in his death so that ultimately he could be lifted up like the butler and restored to his place of prominence. There are a lot of things you could be thinking about as you partake of the feast this morning, but if you use the words that I've shared with you today, you will concentrate on this. Oh my God, thank you for lifting up Christ on the cross so that he could be lifted up to his rightful place in heaven. And he has drawn me to him.